Welcome. We are looking for the second week, and we could probably do this maybe one or two other weeks. One verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Okay, there's a lot in this particular verse. We're taking several weeks to talk about it. Last week, our emphasis or our focus was on earthen vessels. Okay, right? Or clay pots or, vasos de barro. Okay? And it looks like something like this. Sometimes they're kind of enclosed. I bought this yesterday. It already has a chip on it. Can you believe that? Oh, it's already got a crack in it. Oh, that's us, earthen vessels, okay? We are fragile. I can't use that one anymore, okay? we break easily, right? We crack after a while. This already has a crack. Just bought it yesterday. Actually, it's got two chips on it, you know? They don't last forever, do they? Actually, I bought it at Walmart for $1.87. What can you expect, right? You didn't even think there was anything at Walmart you could buy for that, did you? But we are like earthen vessels in that our bodies are dying and decaying, right? We talked about this last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it describes our bodies as old tents. These tents are kind of getting worn out after a while, right? They start wearing out. They start kind of cracking a little bit and decaying. In fact, it says we groan in these tents. But an eternal permanent house is being prepared for us later in the next age, right? Now, we're also like earthen vessels and that our flesh is weak. And we talked about the verse in Matthew 26. The spirit's willing, but what? The flesh is weak. All of us have good intentions sometimes, but we try, and then we just always find ourselves slipping up, falling, and it could be discouraging. We also are like earthen vessels in that we sometimes just get overwhelmed with sin. Because after all, we are slaves to sin, slaves to unrighteousness, right? And other ways, we talked about how, we don't have the wisdom we'd like to have. We don't have the love that we would like to have. We don't have the joy we feel like we need to have. In fact, Paul kind of said it this way. He's speaking of himself. He says, when I am weak, I am strong. And that's sort of the mystery that we're going to be talking about today. So we want to shift now, get away from the earthen vessels to this treasure. And this treasure has been placed inside of these weak, decaying, sinful, earthly vessels. Okay, and by the way, what is his name? Jesus, right? That's the name of this treasure. Okay, let's take a look at one verse above, verse 6. It says, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. By the way, when did God say that? In Genesis, first chapter, I think like third verse or so. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. In other words, the light of the knowledge of him that brings all glory comes in the face of Christ. It comes with Jesus. Now, let me explain, because that's a verse I have to read four or five times. I think I know what it's saying. Let me explain. And let's go back to John chapter 1. And let's kind of jump in verse 4. John 1, this chapter starts off, in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 4, in Him, that means Jesus, was life, Zoe life. And this Zoe life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So Jesus is this light. He's the light of men and light of life as well, right? And this light, not like in Genesis, but there's a spiritual light, a spiritual life, a supernatural light that shines in the world. And wherever it shines, darkness can't stand because it's a supernatural light. Okay, let's jump to verse 6. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist, right? He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. So God sent John to kind of say, listen, the light's coming. The light's coming. And then it says, verse 8, he was not the light, but he came merely to testify about the light. There was the true light. And who's the true light? Jesus, which coming into the world enlightens every man. And literally that means who fills every man with light. That's what it's talking about. Okay, let's jump down to verse 14. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we all saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. But when Jesus came, when this light, this life came into the world, we got to see the glory of God. Because this light is so powerful, it brings with it life of God. It brings forth the glory of God. And that's how the book of John starts. So if we kind of go back to 2 Corinthians, let's kind of go up another couple of verses. Verse 4. In whose case the God of this world, by the way, who is the God of this world? Satan, okay. You know, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So here it's talking about the light brings the glory. It brings the gospel. And there's a battle here because Satan doesn't want us to see this supernatural light. So he's working as hard as he can to put, it says a little above that, a veil to blind us. Because what happens, we can have all the lights turned up, and if I have a big bandage around my eyes, I can't see anything, right? And that's why a lot of people don't see the light that God has sent into this world. So there's a battle going on. But if we go back to John, it's clear in many places, Jesus is constantly saying, I am the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. It says, wrong chapter. It says, then Jesus spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. And get this. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. If we follow Jesus, not only do we kind of see more clearly, but we can actually have the light of life inside of us. Chapter 9. I'm not going to read all these verses where he talks about being a light, but just a couple here. Verse 5, chapter 9. While I am in the world, I am in the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So when he was here, he was the light. But that's a strange way to put it. Like, when I'm in the world, what about when he leaves the world? Who's going to be the light of the world? Well, let's kind of see. It's going to be us. Oh, thank you. I am thirsty. John 12, verse 35. And verse 6, so Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you, referring to himself. Walk while you have the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. So do you see what he's saying here? By the way, I could go back in the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, but not just Isaiah. In many places, it talks about when the Messiah comes, he's going to be the light. He's going to be the light of the world, not just of Jews, but of all the peoples of the world. He's going to be this light. So he comes. That's the way the whole book of John starts. The light is coming. He sent John to testify of the light. He's coming. And it's going to bring God's glory. It's going to bring light. It's going to bring life. And when he was on the earth, he says, I am the light of the world. Believe in me. And then toward the end of his ministry, he starts saying, because if you believe in me and if you follow me as the light, you will become sons of light. You'll actually become, you'll have the light of life inside of you. And that is really the mystery of regeneration. That God himself, through Jesus, actually comes and takes up residence inside of us. And it's hard to explain. Well, wait a minute. You know, I don't see God inside of me. I don't see Jesus inside of me. But he does, as he shines his light inside of me, he becomes inside of me. That's the mystery of the regeneration process. And that's why, like on the Sermon on the Mount, you can kind of take a look up above real quick. But in Matthew 5, actually at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, first of all, he says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, God wants us, he wants that light to actually shine through us. When he was here, he was the light of the world. But you know who's the light of the world right now? We are. Jesus shining through us because he's living inside of us. That's the way this is supposed to work. I'm not so sure this is in Spanish, but an English children's song is I'm going to break this again. I don't watch it. It goes, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Is that in Spanish? Okay, good. Okay, because it's so simple. It's a children's song. Even children can get it. Sometimes I don't think we get it. I know, Daniel, you want to recruit me for the worship team now, don't you? No, I can't. That was a joke, by the way. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 again. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who's shown in our hearts. That's God himself shines in our hearts to give. It's a gift. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And it's in the face of Christ. Okay. So that's the amazing treasure. It's Jesus. His light coming in to us. And do we see what we have as a treasure, like the most amazing and valuable treasure ever in the history of mankind? I know it's kind of the mystery of regeneration, isn't it? When I was a kid, which I still kind of act like one, I was always fascinated with stories about hidden treasure, movies, books, I don't know. I just liked it. You know, and even now when I hear of some story where there's a hidden treasure somewhere, like a couple years ago, some guy put, I don't know, several million dollars somewhere here in the Rocky Mountains, and he gave several clues. I have to admit, I probably spent 30, 40 minutes looking at those clues. I thought, I'm going to try to figure this thing. I don't know, I'm just fascinated by it, you know. Finding hidden treasure is like getting the lottery, except you don't pay anything for it. Of course, you work a lot for it, I guess. Except you don't get any tax. Well, you probably get taxes on that too now. I don't know. But anyway, we're talking about the treasure of all treasures. The biggest, the most valuable, the eternal treasure in all of history. And here's another thing. It can never be spent. You can use it, but it always replenishes itself. And so, because it lives forever and ever, and there's enough for, not just for me, but for all of us. In fact, for everybody in the world. You know, we can share it. That treasure is Jesus, the light of the world. He's turning darkness into light. Two parables that we've looked at recently, probably many of you in house church. One is Matthew 13. Actually, they're both in Matthew 13. And they're real short parables. First one's one verse, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Can you imagine that? You find this wonderful treasure hidden, and they're selling the piece of land for dirt cheap. Dirt cheap, that's not a pun. You know, but anyway, I'm going to see what I can do. I'll sell everything because the treasure is going to make up for it, you know. And then the next one, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's how valuable this treasure is. It's worth what? Selling everything you have. That's exactly what this one man did. He found this treasure in the field. He sold everything he had to get that treasure. This merchant, he found this one pearl. He said, I've got to have that pearl. And what did he do? He sold everything he had to buy that one pearl. The early disciples, when they saw who Jesus was, what did they do? They left everything and followed him. Actually, there's a phrase in Christian circles. I don't hear it much anymore, but it's like, are you sold out for Jesus? How many people have heard that expression? Probably not a lot of people. Okay, that shows how it is. My family, sold out for Jesus. You know, that's kind of nice. I like that phrase because it means I've sold everything. I've given everything to follow Jesus. And that's what we do in order to get this great treasure. Now, if you don't sell everything, the treasure is still there. But I wonder, in fact, I'm not so sure we can experience this treasure to its fullness unless we are sold out for Jesus. Okay, let's think about Jesus for a few minutes. This great treasure. Just a few things. We won't be able to do an exhaustive study on this, but we could say Jesus gives us eternal life. I mean, what a gift that is, that we'll never die, that we'll live forever and ever and ever, you know? I mean, is that not treasure? Of course it is, you know? It's better than that fountain of youth we talked about last week. You just live forever. Wow. I mean, what a gift. Actually, I thought about if you could bottle this up and sell it, eternal life. You take one of these pills and you'll live forever and ever and ever. Would people buy it? Especially if they knew it was true? Would they sell everything they had to buy it? Yeah, because, well, I've got all of eternity to get it back. You know, I started off when I was born with nothing. You know, I'll start over. They would give everything, wouldn't they? Because eternal life, to live forever, I mean, how could you go wrong? But Jesus not just gives us eternal life, he gives us life and light here in this world. I mean, that Zoe life, it's an abundance. It's, you know, where life conquers death and light conquers all darkness. That's the treasure. And again, if you could bottle that up, would people buy it if they knew it was true? Of course they would. He gives us a supernatural, and that's a key word here, peace and joy and agape love. I mean, people are always looking for peace. I just need peace in my life. I just need to, I'm stressed out. I just need some peace or joy. You know, they're depressed. They can't, you know, just, they're heavy. They go through life heavy. They want that. Or love. You know, I just can't love anybody. Not the way I really want. Again, we could still use that same example. If you could bottle that up, people would probably give everything they had in order to find peace, to find joy, to find true love, wouldn't they? They would. And by the way, it's free and it's to everybody. And you might say, yeah, but sometimes they don't believe it. Well, if they don't believe it, maybe it's because we're not exhibiting it. We're not demonstrating it right. Other things we could say, you know, Jesus actually initiates a relationship with us. It's not like he gives us all this stuff and says, okay, I'm see you later. No, he says, I want to have a relationship with you. We're talking about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wants to have a relationship with Pat Ryan, you know, with Carla, with Walter, with Lily. Yeah, I mean, think about that. Why me? I'm just an earthen vessel. That's the beauty of all this, isn't it? And relationship, he wants us to get to know him, what he's like. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to hear his voice. He's available 24/7. It's not like, okay, I get an hour a week that I can talk to this Lord of Lords. We'd be thankful for that, wouldn't we? I mean, if you could talk with the King of Kings 1 hour a day, that'd be worth kind of giving all your money for. But he says, I'll do better than that. We'll do it 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can ask all the questions. You can kind of come to me with all your petitions. After all, I'm the creator of this earth. I've created everything. I know everything. I know the future. Talk to me about it. Jesus frees us from the power of sin and death. I mean, all these, we could easily spend one or two messages on. But we are slaves to sin. We are trapped. But he wants to set us free, give us a freedom on the inside, where there's no fear of death anymore. This is part of that treasure. Actually, it's like a treasure that's really a treasure room. Here's another one I like. He loves us. Think about that. This King of Kings actually loves us. In fact, he loves us so much, he has chosen to spend eternity with us, and we would be his bride. What about that? He's chosen us to be his bride, to be his companion, to be his co-worker forever and ever. It doesn't make sense because, after all, we're these vasos de barro, we're these clay pots. Why would he want to make a bunch of us and they're all cracked and broken? Why would he want to kind of do that and make us his bride? Because he loves us. Now, if you start thinking about this, it's like, I can't comprehend this. This is too big for my mind. And that's exactly true. It's bigger than us. Then he's kind of also, you got to remember, our life here is just, we've talked about this before, like a dot in a big line here. But he has prepared for us another world, a new earth and new heavens. We're going to have new bodies, not going to get sick, not going to get old, not going to get hungry. And he's going to place us in a perfect world, better than even the Garden of Eden was. And he says, you can spend eternity there. And we did a whole series on this back, about a year ago. And again, if you just think about this, if you could kind of mark it or kind of come up with a way that you could, okay, listen, do you want a journey to a new world where you get a new body, you live forever, and it's a perfect world? And I'm selling one-way tickets. People are lining up for it, you know. I'll give everything. You know, if you kind of said, only have 100 tickets, what would you do? You get the 100 of the richest women, richest men and women in the world signed up for it. I'll pay more. I'll do anything for that. That's what we're talking about. We could keep going. Let's do a couple more. He has poured out upon us his incredible grace. That's his power, his supernatural power. And he didn't just sprinkle on us. He pours it out on us. It says he showers us with it, this incredible grace. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that because next week we're going to talk about the surpassing greatness of his power. That comes forth from the grace. I mean, comes forth from this treasure. Actually, one more. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We can't even count all those spiritual blessings that he has for us. It's not just here on earth. We're talking about for all of eternity in all the heavenly places. That's what Ephesians 1:3 says. Every spiritual blessing. It doesn't say a lot of spiritual blessings. That'd be worth it. He doesn't say some or a little bit. That'd be worth it. He says every spiritual blessing that's ever in the heavenly places, has been, is now, or will be, is ours. It's part of that treasure. And then Jesus has given us, I like this too, his authority. Because he's over everything, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He says, I want to share my authority with you. Because there's things that I want you to be doing here on this earth. And I think there's going to be things on the other side of this age that we'll be doing too. But we will have the authority. Now, we don't even really comprehend this. You know, we say, yeah, it kind of comes through prayer. And we kind of throw up a prayer here and now a few times a day or something. Or, you know, once a year, we'll kind of focus in it a little bit more, but a lot of times it doesn't really, you know, it's not what we don't really feel the prayer like we think we should. And it just shows we're really not walking in what he's given us like he has called us to. Jesus lives inside of us. That's the mystery of regeneration. He's living inside of us, earthen vessels. And this is truly, truly amazing. Who are we to kind of receive this? But yet we've been told that we've been chosen to receive all this. So 2 Corinthians 4:7, is that an amazing verse or not? It is, because just if you start thinking about it, it just goes on and on. Okay, I want to have a couple questions I want to end with. First of all, I'm speaking to you now individually, do you have this treasure living within you? I'm not asking if you know about this treasure. If you're here, you know about this treasure. I'm asking, do you have that treasure inside of you? There's a big difference there. In other words, have you been regenerated or born again or experienced the mystery of the regeneration? You might say, well, how do you know, Mike? I mean, sometimes I think so, sometimes I don't. When I'm at church, I kind of feel good. Well, you just know because you are beginning to experience his light, his presence, his life, his transformation. transforming work inside of us. You just know, I know I've experienced, not like I probably should have. I know I haven't done it like I should have, but I have experienced that. That's a good sign that you do have that treasure. On the other hand, if it's something that maybe kind of you feel, but then it just goes away real easy, there's a good chance that you just know about the treasure, but you don't have that treasure living inside your earthly vessel. Think about that. You might say, well, how do you, if I don't have it, how do I get this treasure? How do I go from knowing about the treasure to getting the treasure? Well, it's really very simple, because Jesus tells us over and over in Old Testament and New Testament, come to me. And so it's coming to him. We humble ourselves. We tell him that we are sinful. We recognize, Lord, I am nothing but an earthen vessel. We repent. Lord, I have not been living according to your word. I fall continually. I need you, Lord. And then we invite him to come to live inside of us and to receive his gift of eternal life. It's really simple. In fact, it's so simple, a lot of times people have never done that. Or maybe, here's a second question, maybe you have no doubt that there is that treasure in your earthen vessel. But somehow, something's been lost. You've been distracted. You've kind of stashed that treasure in some corner of your life. You know, put it in a closet somewhere. The passion you once had, the fire that once raged inside of you, it's not there like it was. Maybe it's there, but it's a small fraction of what it used to be. You're not truly sold out to him, using that phrase again. And deep down you know it. Maybe no one else around you knows it. What can you do? The amazing thing is that God has arranged things in such a way that we can always get that fire blazing again. But it does mean turning to him. It means confessing our sins and inviting him. Lord, will you burn your passion deep inside of me again? That's what it means. Where are you? You may have noticed that I kind of made this extra big today. Anyone notice that? Yeah, probably everyone did. Yeah. Like, why did you do that? You know, I want us to do something different. Now, I'm going to ask Daniel to go up and play some. Yeah, you can go ahead and cut this off here. But I'd like to invite you, if you need to ask Jesus to come into your life, or if you need to ask him to, Lord, I've lost track of this. I'm not sold out like I used to be. Or maybe you just want to kind of say, Lord, I want that. I want to know your treasure. I want to know you're living inside of me. I want to experience your life. I want you to shine through me like never before. I want to invite you to come forward. You can bow down. You can whatever you want to do. I want you to cry out before the Lord. I imagine, I'm not sure, but we might be praying for one another. In fact, if you need someone to pray for you, maybe you can just kind of lift your hand or something. Me or someone will kind of come around you. And let's pray for one another. And may Jesus burn brighter and brighter inside of us. May his light shine. So, Lord, Well, this verse is so clear. We talked about last week, we're nothing but clay pots. Lord, we're weak. We crack easy. We break. Our life is limited. We get sick. It's a constant battle. But Lord, the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of how you sent Jesus here on earth as your light. And it's to come into us. It's to place your treasure inside of us. Lord, we can't understand it. Lord, for anyone here who is uncertain whether or not they have that treasure living inside of them, Lord, this is the time. And I just want to invite you to come down and just bow down. Some people will pray with you, for you. Or if you feel like you've gotten distracted and that fire is not, that treasure is not doing what it should be, I invite you to come forward. And really, anybody else, just take time to just come down and just say, Lord, I want to be sold out for you. I want everything to be given to you. Let's just take that time now to do that. Thank you.